You're listening to Radiotopia Presents from PRX's Radiotopia.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hi, this is Damon Krukiewski. I'm hosting a six-part podcast from Radiotopia's Showcase called Ways of Hearing. It explores the nature of listening in our digital world. This week, we're pausing our series to bring you a special collaboration between Ways of Hearing and one of my favorite podcasts, Song Exploder by Hrishikesh Hirway. Each episode of Song Exploder is a look into the studio process of a musician working today. And those musicians all work, with one exception, as we'll hear, in a digital medium. In fact, the premise of Song Exploder, breaking a song down into its isolated individual parts, or stems, depends on digital tools. Back in analog days, bands like the one I was in, Galaxy 500, didn't have the materials or means to archive the individual parts to songs. Multitrack tape was so expensive, Galaxy 500 actually rented it. The equivalent of our stems were taped over by the next band that came into the studio where we recorded. All we kept was the stereo master, the same mix you hear on our finished records. I love listening to Song Exploder because I learn so much about how other musicians are working right now. But one thing we hardly ever hear on the show is its creator's voice. I wanted to turn the process around and ask how Song Exploder itself is put together. Think of this as Song Exploder Exploder.
Okay, yeah. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. I'm the host and creator of the podcast Song Exploder.
First of all, if you didn't mind talking a little bit about your own beginnings in sound production.
The podcast really started when I was on tour one time with my band. You get into these conversations with other musicians. How did you make that thing? I love that sound. What is that? I was doing that a lot. My background is more in like a DIY kind of production style. Not really by choice, but I didn't know what I was doing when I first started. So partly I was interested in talking to people out of curiosity and, you know, just as like a fan of what they were doing. But then partly it was also just to steal some knowledge here and there.
So So Song Exploder came out of these questions that you had for yourself about producing your own records. I'm wondering how you made the leap to the podcast form.
I was just kind of a casual podcast listener for a very long time. When I moved to LA in 2006, I remember setting up my apartment, binge listening to the Ricky Gervais podcast.
I'll tell you what, I would not have a face transplant if I haven't seen the face before I'm going to have it.
You
I guess it was a year later when I was on tour with the 1AM radio, someone made me a collection of This American Life CDs so I could listen to them in the car. That was great. And it really made me fall in love with the format, even though I still wasn't consuming it the way that you think of podcasts, you know, like on an iPod or on an iPhone. But really, it wasn't until maybe 2012 I started listening to WTF with Marc Maron and a Memory Palace.
Wait for it.
Spent the first 35 years of his life learning to paint. At Andover, at Yale, in London, at the Royal Academy.
They have very different qualities and very different aesthetics, but I loved them both, and I think those two shows ended up helping me form the blueprint for Song Exploder.
Welcome to the first episode of Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. On this podcast, in each episode, a musician plays one song of theirs and then breaks the recording down into pieces to give you an inside look into their creative and technical process.
Are you using the same equipment that you use for your music?
Yeah, same microphone, same Pro Tools setup, everything. The reason why I think it felt like I could even try and do this was because I had everything that I needed. I had Pro Tools. I knew how to edit stuff. I could at least give it a shot. What ended up being the first episode of Song Exploder really was just an experiment where I took my microphone and my laptop over to my friend Jimmy Tamborello's house and asked him to play me the stems of his song, a Postal Service song, and talk to me about how he made it.
Hi, my name is Jimmy Tamburello from the Postal Service. Postal Service was a project.
That's such an interesting thing that it started with Postal Service, because that record that they made was made through the mail, right? That's why the band was called that. In my experience, that seemed really rare at the time. Like, it seemed like a really new idea. It was like a band that was already exploded in some way. And then that all these musicians will share the stems with you. It's so interesting to me. Because if you take it back to like bands on tour together, you're sharing information, but you're also kind of sharing secrets.
I definitely feel that way. Part of what thrills me in episodes is when you can take it even further and a band will share like a demo or some other process material, then it really feels like, oh, we're getting some audio treasure here.
That would otherwise disappear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested to think about the digital component of this. It seems dependent on digital media because it's stems and it's Pro Tools. Have you ever interviewed anyone who came to you with analog tape or analog materials?
Yeah. Early on in the podcast's history, I reached out to Phil Elvrum of the Microphones in Mount Erie.
You're listening to Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway.
I'm a huge fan of his. He seemed like the perfect kind of guest for Song Exploder. Plus, I knew him well enough that I had his email address and I could write him and he would know who I was. I wonder if I can actually pull up the emails here. I'll give you too much information. Hopefully that's okay. I wrote to him. Hi, Phil. I make a podcast here in Los Angeles called Song Exploder. I was wondering if you'd like to come record an episode. He wrote back, and much to my delight, he said, "Hi, Rishi, I love your show. I've been tuned in since episode one. I was actually debating writing to you to invite myself, but I felt like that would be too cocky. Can you tell me more about how it works? All of my recordings are on tape, and I don't have much of it digitized as stems," in quotes. "Is that what the individual track digidumps are called?" he asks. I suggested maybe the song "I Want Wind to Blow." It's a very loved song. Phil said he would give it a shot, but he came back and he said, "Right now I'm in Olympia trying to transfer the tapes for the microphone songs, and since the reels are so old, they are shedding and unplayable. Bummer. But it is possible to bake the reels and get a few more passes on the machine, so I'm going to try that when I return through Olympia on my way home." He was on tour. At this point, I'm just like on pins and needles. I'm like, what's going to happen? I wrote back, "No problem either way," you know, being very chill about the whole thing. And then I get an email from Phil. "Just an update. I was able to save the reels and get the tracks." He had to actually put his 2-inch tape into an oven and heat it up in order to preserve the structural integrity of the material, run it through the tape machine one more time so it doesn't disintegrate, and actually get it onto the computer. And he did all that just for the episode. I was really flattered. For me, Song Exploder is a problem-solving podcast. A song is built up, little decision, little decision, little solution, until the thing gets finished. Problem is a funny word to use for it, because music making is so instinctive. A lot of times, an artist will come in for an interview and they'll say, you know, this one just happened. But it turns out there's always more to it than that. It didn't just happen. Where were you when you did it? What led you to that place and that time and that melody? What had been in your head? There are these foundational questions. It doesn't sound like a problem, but it is. It's the way I think of it.
You know, which episode it makes me think of is the Solange
this
one.
This is Solange.
It was problem solving for her.
Her interview was really a dream interview for the podcast, because she had an answer for every question that led back in a way very clearly to this kind of problem solving approach. You know, where I could say, "What's that sound? Where did it come from? And why is it there?" And she could answer every one of those questions.
When I talk about traveling through 70 states, it's 70 states of mind. My mom telling me to get your ass up.
Don't you cry, babe. It reminds me a little bit of when people are doing forensic reconstruction, where they'll trace the path of a bullet using string. That's how it felt listening to her talk about her song, is I'm pointing at a bullet hole and saying, "Where did that come from?" And she's like, "Well, let me show you." And then she would take the string and bring it all the way back, and you could follow it along. It was great.
I feel like this happens with some frequency in your show. People get a little bit embarrassed when you're playing them an isolated track.
Right. I don't know that it happens that often, but the thing is, every time it happens, I do end up including it into the episode because I love those moments. I think that's one of those things where I'm bringing my own prejudice into it. There are so many things in my own recordings that I know I've left in there, and I'm like, nobody's going to notice that. I think I'm kind of exercising my own embarrassment about it by saying, like, look, everybody has moments like these. But I think it also makes anybody who's listening to the show, who maybe they're listening to their favorite artist, to hear someone they admire have that same kind of embarrassment, that it's not this perfectly polished product. I think it's a really wonderful thing to hear.
The example that comes to my mind is Grimes.
Yeah, that one was really funny.
This is Claire Boucher from Grimes.
I think she explicitly tried to forbid me from playing her soloed vocal tracks because she was embarrassed by her own vocals.
I hate singing. It's just not something I identify with at all. I'm pretty much always pretending to be someone else when I'm singing.
But her vocals are such a big part of her sound. And the question that we were chasing there about a character that she was inventing, all this stuff gets illustrated in the isolated stems.
Oh, I'm going to try to write with a Harley Quinn kind of vibe, like just sort of this jokery, like scary demon chorus. The B-E-H-A, which sounds terrible. You shouldn't solo it. It sounds so
bad. I told her, I was like, no, I'm definitely going to play this isolated.
Okay, well, let the people know that I think it sounds, it's really
embarrassing.
She said,
okay, all right, I respect that.
I respect if you solo it.
There are these little tarnished bits that when you look at with a microscope, you can see maybe this part isn't perfect. But when you zoom out, ultimately you're going to get back to the song, and the song is fantastic. This is a success story. Within the success story, it's okay to talk about individual moments where things didn't go perfectly as planned.
So it sort of relates to, it's a structure that you created, but I think it works so well. You don't play the song first, you play it last.
That's true. Although when I first started the show, it was the other way around. The first four episodes of the show that I made originally had the song first, and then the discussion of the song came afterwards. But first, here's The Outer Banks by The Album Leaf. I thought of it like a magic trick, where you see the magic trick, and you get to be wowed by it, and then you find out the mechanics behind it, as opposed to, hey, everybody, we're going to tell you how we're going to do this trick. You wouldn't have that same kind of feeling of wow. And then quickly I realized that by putting the song up front, you might not ever get to the discussion. It's so often that you'll hear a song, and within 30 seconds, you're like, this isn't for me. Less than 30 seconds. But what I was finding was that after making an episode, I would fall in love with a song so much more deeply because I'd spent so much time like learning about it and hearing about it. I just got attached. By putting the discussion first, you build in a kind of anticipation and investment in the listener so that by the time they actually hear the song, they're a little bit hooked.
Like iTunes plays that free 15 seconds or whatever it is. Getting people past that point is like a big problem in digital media right now, I think. How do you get people to listen to the point where they might discover they're interested? It's not forcing them to be interested in something they're not. It's just like, give it a little more time, you know? And we used to have to do that because you invested in the physical medium. You weren't just going to throw it away. You unwrapped it. You were disappointed maybe in the first track, but you're still going to listen through.
Right. Whether you're listening to find your favorite track or not, if it plays from beginning to end, and then you can decide afterwards which one you might come back to over and over again. But your first time through, you listen to the whole thing.
And that's really, I think, not the way people are listening now.
No, not at all.
But I feel like Song Explorer has found a way. It's not listening to an album, but it's listening to one song really carefully. You've gotten to know all these little bits and pieces, and then it reveals itself in its mixed form. It really just makes you hear it, I think, so much more carefully. And that's just a huge achievement, I think, in the digital medium.
Thanks a lot.
This special episode is presented by Ways of Hearing. In each of our six regular episodes, we look at a different way that the switch from analog to digital audio is changing our perceptions of time, of space, of love, money, and power. Catch them all by subscribing to Showcase from Radiotopia, wherever you get your podcasts. And here's a fun fact I only learned after taping this interview. Hrishikesh Hirway actually had a hand in making Showcase happen. Just like he does with Song Exploder, Rishi was interested in finding a way for Radiotopia to highlight the work of many different producers. Double thanks to him. Ways of Hearing is a production of Showcase from Radiotopia and PRX. Produced by me, Damon Krukiewski, Max Larkin, and Ian Koss, with sound design by Max Larkin and Ian Koss. Our executive producer is Julie Shapiro. Thanks to Alex Bronstein and the PRX Podcast Garage. Our theme song is Trickle Down by Robert Wyatt. Find out more about Ways of Hearing at radiotopia.fm/showcase.
Open your window.
Radiotopia.